Channel One Ova. This is Channel One Ova, and this is Everett. And I have taped over this part. I taped over this Channel One Ova. I taped over it. Now this is supposed to be something else, and this is the beginning of Everett, where he's on his rim. He's well into what he's saying.
This weekend, he's going to pay a dog tax. He said, well, that's the style. You know, it's kind of long all the way around,
sure.
Thick on your ears. I can't stand it. I don't like that long, bushy hat.
But
I had a little truck trouble coming in, and it taking me 3 hours to go from Hawthorne to my home. First thing I had, I ruined the tube. I had the cob potatoes on, you know. I guess a ton or better. And it ruined the tube. And come to find out the rim was bad. And I couldn't find the rim nowhere. Then the old spad I got underneath that bender, you know, I just don't think I ever used it one time. Where I tie out and just sit under the dry rod underneath the back end. Same way the automobile, you know, if you don't change them. But you just stay there and stay there.
Yeah.
And I stopped a cousin of mine in Hawthorne, Whittington boy. That's Avery's brother. He owned the station, that big Shell station. And he was going to help me out. And finally he found the wheel and... at the junkyard, in other words, and put my tie on. I didn't ruin it, but the tube was ruined. I had to buy a tube, and he didn't have the tube, and I had to go down and pay the $4, nearly $5 for inner tube. And I said, well, he charged the list price. He said, yeah. He said, he won't let me have it, you know, wholesale. I said, I never have paid a little over. About less than $3, in other words, for an inner tube. But I was in a tight. I broke down, and they can tell you, in other words, to get it or leave it, in other words.
That's what happens to you on the road. You see, everything costs you more, don't it?
And he charged about $2 changing that thing, you know what, from one to another, you know what. My old rim was split, and the hole was big, and that's what ruined the tube. The tube was real good. I taken it out of the truck. I brought it in, but it pulled out, and it leaked, you know, underneath it. Of course, it's no good. It'd be all right for a swimming tube, you know. Kids, I'm going to give it to my cousin to have some children, and let them, you know, carry it to the water, you know, summer. And play with it.
Well, bless us, Everett.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy blessing and bless this food and nourish my body and our bodies. I say this for us in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Well, I don't apologize, but I tell you, we had some last minute company, and I think your potatoes got a little. Nothing like feeding a potato man.
I saw that Cadillac, and I thought it was wood. He said something about he might be over, and I'd get to meet his cook. His wife, of course, he meant.
Yes, yes. He was here. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know whether he was, what he's going to do, wait for you, go over there and see about you or what. So he must be cruising around the country somewhere. He was here.
He was. Yeah. I told him about bringing some more potatoes.
Now this fella.
And I've seen him.
This fella, his headquarters was Chiefland out in there.
And if I had a little talk with him, I'd know a lot of people in Chiefland. I used to watch the watermelon deal over there, you know.
Oh, really? Well, now, he doesn't know anybody in your settlement.
He doesn't.
Not a soul.
Well, he knows some people I'd call over there if he knows some of the people.
Yeah.
Well-to-do people.
Yeah. Well, you see, he knows everybody in Williston from there on.
Fastball, McElroy's, pretty well-known people.
Yeah.
You know, one of them, you know, run for governor, didn't they? Started to. Damn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, damn.
That's
yeah.
Right.
He knows Fastball. Fastball hadn't lived over there in a generation or so, has he?
No.
You might like some of this on your meat, Everett. I don't know.
He's got a sauce on him.
Yeah, but it'll still mix with this.
Ketchup. Mm-hmm. I use it for French fries over here. I get them. I tell them to cook them. They, you know, in a potato country, they hardly ever have potatoes. And I tell them, I want shrimp fries. Cook me some. No, I'll cook them.
Now,
it's kind of, you know, she, of course, I know how to cook, but I mean, she says she just get up in the morning, cook my breakfast, get up at 6 o'clock, and she fixes breakfast. I said, you don't have to do that.
Over to over there at Hastings?
Where I stay, where I live. Where I stay in the home, private home, you know, it's a nice home.
Yeah.
And the people are well-to-do, they got a 71 Cadillac.
let me see now. You're not right in Hastings.
No, I'm on the Bunnell Road.
On the
it's
Bunnell
about 4
Road.
Miles out.
There's all sorts of packing houses over there.
Oh, yeah. There's world of them.
Well, now, who is it runs yours?
You mean owns it?
Mm-hmm.
First cousin of mine. He passed. He's same my age. He died last year. And he's always, his boy is there, a young boy,
yeah.
Started the crop. And about 10, 15 years ago, I worked over there when they're using the old-fashioned digger. You know, it left them on top of the ground. You picked them up in sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid off in the field. You know, then you'd take $1,000, you know, and make payroll in the daytime, paying off the labor. You pay them off cash as they get through the, you know, one through.
Every day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, is his boy going to carry on?
That's right. And he can't handle labor. You know, labor now is something else. And he knew it. Now, because you're temperamental and you can't, you too much bossing labor now. They only boss you.
Yeah, I boss you.
Well, I promised him before he passed away that I'd, you know, come home and help him. That's when I had this job, and I thought it'd be the first of the month. And that's when he called. I went to telephone my sister-in-law and told me to call him back. If I come, he wouldn't be there Monday morning. I'd come on Sunday afternoon. So I went on Sunday evening.
Yeah.
Then I had to go and tell my boss later I was working with out there, them people, they wouldn't be on the job anymore. And I was talking to a colored man this evening, and he said that he'd gone back to tend the business Ohio, and she stayed by herself. And she got one of them big dogs for protection. But we did go complete the fence around it. Did you see? I told you to go by there and you see that place. You didn't come back, by the way. I told you to come back by there. You were with the wood and you didn't come back that way, did you?
No. I was over there. I tell you what, I went over there. Hell, I don't know. Yesterday morning.
Well, did you go that Dungarvan Road out from Orange Lake?
I stopped over there at Max's. And we stood there and talked about his pastures long. I was going to get him to sort of step over there and show me. And it got to be dinner time. And I figured we'd better come on. So I missed out on it.
But we got the yard fence, the fence around the yard, about 2 acres, where she keeps the dog in.
Oh, yeah.
Got the big room in the gate that is hung. But she's an Alabama girl, and he's an Italian, in other words. He's an architect, and he has tended to business in Fort Lauderdale and West Palm Beach.
You're talking about your potato operation over there. Now, is the boy getting away with his with the labor business now?
Well, I handle labor and build the trucks out. He's more or less going to town and bringing the trucks out, showing them, you know, how to come out.
Yeah.
And then he checked with a broker.
Yeah.
So he's here potatoes. I checked with a broker buying potatoes. The man is taking 30,000 bags.
And you can handle the labor?
I can handle labor. I always have.
And you can do it now?
Well, I'm doing a pretty good job at it now so far. Had a little trouble of playing cards and talking filth and, you know, how they do around a
pretty rough
place like that. All of them, everywhere you go now.
Well, they're not migrants.
No, they come out of Palatka, come out of Hastings.
Yeah.
But they're not migrants, no. Now, back before we had that migrant, that's when they cut each other and fight and get crazy. But now then, why, they're just teenagers. The girls are teenagers and, you know how girls are now, they're wild. They get a little break now where they flop down on the floor, you know, get a card game going, you know, talking all kind of filth.
I'll do this.
You got to break that up. I might get a limb tongue, they don't cut that stuff out.
Yeah.
Say it in a way, you know, where they don't seem to resent it too much. They know it's wrong. It's not, you know, no policy of doing that. You know, and what time. Some of the big boys up there. We done had several of them, like the potato chip man, and bust those chips. I'd like you to try some of them chips.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Fresh chips. I think the name is White. They're real white.
Uh-huh.
White Chip Company, Birmingham, Alabama.
Is that right?
And some of the same potatoes come from my farm.
Well, how old is this boy?
He's 29. He served his National Guard duty, finished high school, served the National Guard, and was going to work. He wanted to be a mechanic. He's mechanical inclined, but he's a little rough, and like he was about busting that axle. I told him he would. It's that four-wheel drive Dodge, but tee up something.
Yeah.
And told him that, but a dig, you know, a wheel down, one of the wheels, you know, already gone to China.
Yeah.
He hooked that thing to it with a load of potatoes, about 8 tons of potatoes on it.
Oh.
And threw it in four-wheel drive and showered down, and I heard the thing, something crack, and I thought it was a frame broke.
Yeah.
I'll put your, let you make your own coffee,
mm-hmm.
Abby, I'm sorry. Is it hot still?
No.
No, I've got it here.
Just
put it back up.
Yeah.
I don't imagine, because we talked for 5 minutes, didn't we? But boy, he'll kind of listen to me, you know. I'm good as seen old on here, and I've been around him when he was young, you know, but he's just a nervous type boy. He worries. Now, he lives downtown. And he and I, you know, closed up the shop, in other words, while one or two of the older colored people stay there and keep, you know, kind of staying straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I ride with him, you know, down to his home, his wife. Cook dinner for he and I both. And at night while we come back, my cousin wife, we go to town and usually eat out. She doesn't like to cook too much. So we go to the restaurant and eat, and she picked up the evening paper, and we come back and she reads it and looked at the television. And I talk a little while, and I listen to one or two ball games. I like baseball games. I maybe finish the Time Union that I pick up early in the morning to get a chance to read all the headlines. In other words, it comes early when I get up. It's a little after six, you know, and have breakfast. I have a little time for the hands to get there.
And they live in town?
No. He, the boy and his wife does. He got two children.
Now, do you live with them?
No. I'm living with his mother, my cousin's wife. That's where I sleep.
That's the boy's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She had two children. The girl is an editorial writer for this little Star Banner line, O'Cock.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Writes the news, and she had a wonderful article in there. That she had me, her mother let me read. She'd written up. She'd been out there to that big, college. What's the name of that thing on the 27th?
I
can't call the thing now, you know, whether it's millionaire, you know, it costs you money to go there.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Golden Hills.
Yeah, Golden Hills Academy. That's it. You had it down. Then the millionaires go there.
Yeah.
You not drinking coffee enough?
Must be pretty dull place.
But I never had the money to go with that place myself. But she wrote this article on it, and it was real good.
Yeah,
but she's got a German dog, and he'll eat you up, and I don't care about getting used to him, but the handyman, she called him, he helped the boy make the crop with a tractor.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he got, I think about it, 6 or 8 tractors. And all good tractors, too.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Well, he's in business then, isn't he?
He is that.
Now, has he got the, don't it take it right smart, he got to be able to take losses.
That's what I'm afraid of. Well, if he had it all, well, he may be it, because his mother not financing, see. He's after reading the signed contract to be sure that he could operate, you know, what, after getting $30,000 back, that's $90,000, see.
I see. So that'll keep him in business.
Yeah, that's right. He can buy fertilizer and over $90,000 filling the contract and be able to operate next year on the contract.
Yeah.
But number two, you get down to half that $3, dollar and a half, you lose your money.
Yeah.
That's when, in other words, your mother, she's able to finance him, but I don't believe she will.
Yeah. Well,
she doesn't have a thing to do with it. He's renting them. Ran for me. He paid her just like he renting another piece of land there from right at the house from old Caparilla.
Yeah.
I tied it. 90 acres right there side of the road, right next to the house. That the first field was dug. But it's not potato land, it's too much clay in it. And it's dry weather, you couldn't get the water, you know, out of the ditches and the artesian well to it. And the potato ran small, but It dug 143 bags an acre, which wasn't too a bad crop for this year, I know.
Yeah.
But the field went now, it's getting about 240 bags an acre.
Oh, man.
When we get through with it, I believe the home, what they call the home place, when we get back there, it's going to do all right, too. That's where the house is.
Well, he don't have to own all the land he...
No.
Fine.
No, he ran it. That was just like that Smith place, they call it, and the Capitola place.
Yeah.
It was 90 and 40, that's 130 acres he rent. Besides the home place, he paid his mama rent on it.
Yeah.
But his mama not backed him. I thought maybe she was. His daddy, in other words, was able to finance himself and he living, and I thought that he had his money in it. But I guess they made arrangements when they settled in another state.
And does he
have to get that, everything on him, because I didn't inquire. It wasn't in my business, but she was cutting up, and I said, well, let him worry about that. See, it must be $200,000 factoring equipment. Underneath the package, in other words, and she turned, he made arrangements to let the boy have that. That'd be an inheritance. And she's saying she's going to have to pay the inheritance tax on it. That was scaring her to death. You know how people are. You pay it and they don't have money, but they're worried about getting shares of that money.
Yeah.
I said, you let that boy, he's 29 years old. Let him worry about that. He done made it right with the lawyer, you know, and got that part straightened out in the will. But she's a nervous type of girl. She's in her 50s.
Does he have to make $3 a bag to come out on his
No,
bag?
He got to make right at two.
Right at two?
Yeah. $1.50. This year it wasn't quite expensive, he said, to raise the crop because he didn't have to dust it much.
Yeah.
But when the drought hit him, he said he made it up on the water because them electric pumps. That costs $100 a week, you know, for electricity if you run them big electric pumps.
All right.
$100 a week runs up money if you run them very long.
It seemed long, doesn't it? When you start,
that's what he said.
Yeah, when you do that. Now,
but I think the boy's going to come out and be able to operate. He said last year with him, with his daddy, he just had that 190 acres, see, and his daddy had the other by himself and his mother, you see. And he said he made $20,000 off that 90 acre last year, which wasn't a bad crop, after paying for all the expenses and everything. But his daddy financed him, see. The independent farming of it, and we know what I mean, the people are able to operate, while they don't have to, you know, borrow money and pay interest on it and all that.
Yeah. Now this truck, who was stuck?
The tractor with a cart on it, like you have that one that has about 1,120 tires on it. Just one single tire. And it hauled about 6 tons. It's a 14-foot body on there. It hauled about 6 tons of potatoes behind a big John Deere tractor.
Oh, I see.
And you had the water for it, and you cover them up with a hair like you had on that lift, you know, on that little Alice Charmer of yours. And they had it behind a Ford, a little bigger than yours, an 851, I believe, series.
Yeah.
And it covered that water for it. See where the water, you know, feeds the plant. And he cut the water off the wells. And it dried out some. But after you get down so deep, you've seen land over there. If you get underneath that top soil.
Yeah.
Because I told them dark and they looked kind of funny. I said, you never heard that before? I said, no, I don't believe I have. I said, that thing is going to China. It did. It hit the wheel. Hit that 1,100 tire.
Yeah.
And the frame was holding it up, keeping going on down. And he hooked to it with that Dodge, you see, and it down without digging in front of the wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had about 8 tons on it with a big chain.
Yeah.
And something had to come. I said, you pull that blooming thing in too. You may pull the grow ball off the doggone tractor.
Yeah.
Of course, it would help him, but it was just spinning, though. It couldn't do anything. Just like hooking to a pine tree out there with a piece of equipment trying to pull it up by the roots.
Well, what busted?
Axle. Couldn't find one.
Of the trailer?
Nowhere. Of the big truck.
Of the big truck?
Rear axle.
Uh-huh.
Offset axle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a civilian. It's not an army. Four-wheel drive. I guess what you call it, it must be about a 3-ton deal.
Well, on that truck there, what do you put your cable to pull by?
You put it on the frame.
On the frame?
Mm-hmm. And I heard something crack, and I saw it was a frame, you know, where the frame is based, you know, where them pieces in the web so off.
Oh, yeah.
I thought one of them broke, but it was actual. Because the front wheel drive would work. But the rear, you know, wheel, you know, wouldn't do it. You know, real thing. And it said drive shaft. And I looked, and it was turning. The drive shaft was turning. And that's when one of the colored men, I said, it's in the rear end of the axle. So then, he didn't want to, he said it cost $50 to get someone to come and jack it up with one of these horses, you know, like the wrecker.
Yeah.
And put cloth tied on. We got a fertilizer truck out there, 22 or 24 tons of fertilizer on it. Want it back in there.
Yeah.
And that driver wanted to get it out.
Yeah.
So we called a wreck out of Williston. And he called, come over and charged the boy $25, but he had to come about 10 miles, which was reasonable enough.
Yeah.
He jacked the thing up and put the fork tied on it. And he threw that winch to it and hooked it to an oak tree out there. And it's just like a wire stretcher. It just eased that thing out just right at a time without tearing it up anything.
Yeah.
And I said, you can do the same thing here.
Yeah. Next time, you think he will?
I hope he will.
Cost him enough. And
well, he couldn't buy. Actually, he said it cost $50. Couldn't find one in Jacksonville, Atlanta, Orlando, Tampa, anywhere. Yeah. One more beer plan.
Now, you have used your old watermelon truck for a long time, haven't you? How many seasons have you worked it yourself?
I let another boy work it for 2 years.
Yes.
And then I worked it in Carolina about three or four years.
Oh, you mean?
Then
you?
I worked it here. I carried up that brand new. Paid for it the first year in Carolina, South Carolina.
Is that right?
It cost me $2,600.
Yeah.
Without the body or anything. Dad and I made the body on it and also a pickup it had at the time.
Yeah. Well, you really made a body, didn't you?
Made a body itself all right. Stakes and all made it too.
Yeah.
Made it for about a third of what they're charging, you know, the building.
Yeah.
I got an electric drill, you know, and stuff to work with.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Now, you picked up that carpenter from your daddy.
Yes, sir. He was what's called a finished carpenter.
Yeah. Well, now, where did Willie pick up his carpenter?
I think maybe really just, you know, just natural, just natural come to him. He didn't have, his daddy didn't know anything.
His daddy didn't know.
He didn't know anything, no.
Oh, he done his farm, huh?
That's all. Raised potatoes, sugar cane, and mixed syrup.
Rutabagas, what's that?
All that.
Long stuff he had over there.
Oh, sorghum.
No, something else that grew in the ground, like sweet potatoes and rutabagas.
I'll call him in on me.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make pudding out of it.
Yeah.
Cassava.
Yeah.
I knew it was something.
Cassava. Yeah. Now, I never had
Well, a long time, too. Oh.
Yeah. Now, you can feed them to the animals.
Feed pigs, cows.
Yeah. What do you do, cut them up or just give them to them?
Chop it. You chop,
chop it, yeah.
Now, hogs are easy, you know, without chopping.
Yeah.
No, hogs are good, but cow. I think he fed his horses. That's some great horses. He made the problem. Feed that stuff to the horses, too.
Yeah. Well, he must have been a he'd try a lot of things.
Yeah, different thing, and he's just steady. He worked hard, and he's steady.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the old days, when Willie's dad and my dad were coming on, very conservative. Of course, it didn't take, you know, too much money to live, you know, along then like it does now. You raise a lot of your stuff, you know. You had his own sweet potatoes.
Well, your children weren't so expensive, you see. You didn't have to send them to school, and they'd work for you.
That's right.
Nah, they don't do a thing but spend money, do
they?
Yeah,
if you get way behind, I'll keep them out of school, and they'd catch it back up, see.
Yeah.
But now, him, my daddy, I got to have so-and-so.
Oh, yes.
Well, we don't lend this kid another. So, daddy, I want $5. $5 another, and then we get them 10 to 25 cents.
Yeah.
Go to town. You know what it's all about. But time to change now.
He had all that. He did all that good farming over there. Had those cassavas.
sweet corn, sweet potatoes. He'd sell that sweet corn and sweet potatoes.
Oh, could he get a little? Could
he get a little money out of it, yeah.
Yeah, get a little money out of that.
1923 Model T. You remember back that far? 23 Model T.
Uh-huh.
You wasn't too big yourself, though, were you?
I'm pretty good size.
See, you was born in 1910, I reckon, when you know, I was too. You was 13 years old.
Yeah.
I was just a boy, though, wasn't I? I remember it, though, just as well as it is. You bought a 1926, a brand new one.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't give you much, but he gave you a little.
That's good. They won't eat much. But I've been holding off eating, but look like this office work and not manual work, you know. It's brain work and your intention.
Yeah.
But you're not, you know, getting, you know, pest pine and working like you, you know, with your tractors and getting out with fertilizer and finding fence fixing like they're doing over there and all that.
Yeah.
But they want to eat, in other words, and it seemed like it take me about 3 or 4 days to get used to that water, that little sulfur water.
Yeah, I like sulfur water.
But it's good for me.
But you have to get used to it.
That's right. And I still want it cold.
Yeah.
I don't like drinking it right. I can drink it right out of the well, you know, I'm old plumbing well, but I'd rather have it in an ice bottle.
Yeah, that's hard to me.
But it's, if you drink it, you know, and it's a little bit warm for me, just like Epsom salt. Old truck driver, he said, is that water good to drink? Yeah, it's got a purifier and everything else. Only the surface water, but the well about 90 feet deep. It's all right. It's good to drink. I'm going to get some of this. So they go to the pump house, you know, and get some of that surface water and drink here. They wouldn't drink that surface water.
Eric, why would you want a concrete block house?
Well, biggest thing, in other words, is the upkeep of a house. You've got to paint it every 2 or 3 years, the lumber you get nowadays. And another thing, the bugs, you've got to pay the termite extinguisher, you know, $90 or $100 every so often come and, you know, give it a blast.
No, you don't.
And that's it, because you can't buy lumber now like you could, you know, way back then. There's lumber now like this.
Well, I mean, with a house like you all got out there, I don't quite see why you'd want to discard that for a concrete block.
Look at Max's over. You see here, it is kind of like ours, only here was a two-story.
Yeah.
And I reckon he spent $10,000 on it, and it's not too good a house now. It's a little, you know, it's a pretty fair house, but there's a lot of things wrong with it now. Now, but it takes more heat to heat it. Wood, they still use a fireplace, in other words, and use heaters too. And you take a blockhouse and you sandblast it and get it fixed, and over the inside, you can double, like that man over there, double stud it inside, in other words, and put your board in there, in other words, plywood or sheetrock or plaster, whatever you want to.
Make it airtight.
And it'll make it, you know, where it'll be cool and also be warm in the wintertime.
Well, if you was but you're not ailing, you know. You are pretty hardy. You don't have to.
I do too, as I told him. You know,
have too much comfort. You don't know.
I don't have to have the air conditioning I have to have over there, and I'm not used to it. In other words, no hot, you know, a few hot days, you know, and 90 degrees or something like that. Right.
What does Frankie heat with over his house? Frankie.
Wood. We give you the wood.
And the fireplace?
Fireplace.
Where'd you get his wood?
Out of the swamp down there.
Has he got a saw?
He got one little two-man saw.
Has he? Who helps him?
I guess that's brother-in-law, isn't he? Layman.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They have a field back over the house.
Yes.
And she uses gas heat in it.
Yes. He's not interested in the wood. Why would he go down there and cross-cut saw?
It doesn't help Frank out of here. He doesn't work too much.
I'd rather have that saw right get it, you know.
But, Frank, he...
I don't keep in shape where I could saw. It would win me in 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I would, me too. You have to get used to it, but after you get used to it.
I didn't used to have to get used to it.
It hadn't been about 10, 12 years ago since we get one of those good, you know, 4 points, they call it, salt. Get things sharp. Get another good man that wouldn't ride the thing on the other end. We'd sell, you know, so many strands, in other words. Different people say, I want 8 strands, take about 8 or 10 strands to do me. Just bring it to them and stack it and get through while they give you a check for it, see?
Yeah.
And I used to get somebody to help me on that other farm of mine. I had lots of that acorn, little acorn tree that split like an acorn, they always said.
Yeah.
And cut them down, you know, and split them about 4, you know, split them in half and split them again. That'd be quartered.
Yeah.
And this idea would, you know, we'd make a little money.
Yeah.
You know, we even with a cross cut. Now and then we got these chainsaws. I'm cutting more wood out there than you in a long while with that chainsaw. In just a little while.
Yeah.
But you say, I carried mine up here to use it to cut some cross tie. And they misplaced it. And it stayed, you know, and it had all that rain, it covered it all up, and one of the doctors brought it by. I said, well, it never be any good. It went on 4 cutters. And I said, the only thing I use it is, but people don't need it now, to make cane knives. You know what I mean? Homemade knives. Cane knives, they call it. They can make it. You know, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
And you strip that cane with it.
Yeah.
Call it cane stripper.
Yeah.
But I said, people don't quit that now.
Yeah.
In fact, they quit raiding the cane. No man chitted on raiding the cassava or sugar cane. They run the mill on you. Might have got some juice out there when they're drying. You know, 1 or 2 cells, but have a little patch of cane, but go. It's out of style now. Too much work in.
Yeah. Yes, and it's the best entertainment you have.
We used to enjoy it. It and hog killing. It's working all the hog killing and cane line, but we enjoyed both of them.
Because you see, the people will gather around there and drink the juice and set
around. Hog killing, you know, get around the watch part where they're cooking the lard all. You know what I'm talking about, baby?
No.
You never have been in anything. He remembers, I reckon, don't you?
Yeah, put a little water in there.
But that's what they do. Gather around, you know, where they're cooking lard, and they get a little bit of meat, you know, and barbecue it, you know, on a stick, you know, around the coals, you know. They cook that lard, you know, with hickory.
Yeah.
And it has a wonderful flavor, you see.
Yeah.
You know, just like your barbecue now, you know, they have this artificial thing. And people get around and talk, you know, and be jolly, you know, and the first thing you know, they maybe go to singing.
Oh.
Yeah.
And this is hog killing.
Hog killing. That's right. Cooking the lard and cutting the meat up, have 8 or 10 hogs on a pole out there.
Yeah.
Then you go along, open them up, you know, and save the chitlin, you know, and save them all. Save about everything, in other words.
Yeah.
Made hog head cheese and put the old flat iron, used to, you know, on top of the plate on the pan and flatten it down. Then you cut it slightly.
Yeah.
You've seen hog head cheese in these stores.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And people had a good time. Cane rind the same way. You come, you know, and you talk and visit around and smell the juice and get the steam on you. You know, get a little of that steam on you, in other words, then you're ready to talk to him.
Yeah.
Take it easy. Then once in a while, well, someone will go around and take a basin bit and drill a hole in the bottom of the skimming barrel, you know, and get some of that buck. And it's had them, you know, kind of like the home brew. It had a little kick to it, a little alcohol thing.
Yeah.
You know, you know. Faye doesn't know, I don't reckon. I don't read.
No.
She came from...
No.
Where'd you come from? North Carolina, Tennessee?
Tennessee. But I never saw that.
You didn't see anything like that. But people had a good time back in then, you know it?
Yeah. Now, you see, we didn't have such a good time in making cane up there, sorghum. It was a different operation. But down here, it is. I never heard of any stories, you see, about sorghum. The skimmings, I never heard anybody using the skimmings of sorghum.
No. I read not, but the other cane, the ribbon cane and the jack cane and all that, they'd say that.
You know what we
in.
Call this? We call this New Orleans molasses down there. Of course, New Orleans molasses was different. But
that's right. A little stronger, wasn't it?
Yeah. But a good bit stronger. You know, I saw...
Yeah, there's more hot water than that.
I never did talk to Mr. Elbert Zetrauer, and he was up there. I'd seen him, I knew who he was. He's up there hoeing his flowers.
I'll be that's all.
The other day, and I just stopped and stopped talking to him. He talks pretty well, don't he?
Yeah, yeah, he's a nice fellow. He's not tight-tongued too much, and he puts a simple thought well.
Yeah.
He's a good boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he is.
Now, he's more, he talks more like GP.
Yeah, that's fine.
That is, he knows pretty well what he's talking about, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
GP knows what he's talking about, doesn't he?
He does. I saw him this afternoon.
Oh, really?
I didn't get a chance to ask him if he moved, but he's supposed to move.
Yeah. And his boy gonna move in his
place. Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice on the boy, wouldn't it?
It really is. The boy had it made.
Oh, it's a man's life.
Did you get to?
He won't. He won't appreciate all that.
Deep, though. He got about taters. Said Mr. Edwards said you're going to bring some taters over after that HA. It's going to be 3 cents a pound. I said, no, HA told me to bring the red potatoes. Don't bring the white one. And I said, the red one was money. I said, it was $7.
Yeah.
But
really?
Yeah. But now they're down to 5 and 6. You had number 1, 5, and 6 for the red one. But they only let them dig so many. Because Alabama, you don't got a short crop. And they threw down the country, and they, it none on the dry market, you know what I mean? All these taters, these green, you know, like these, let me cut all these chip taters, they're too green to keep, they won't keep. Like the Idaho, now you take the northern taters, you know, the front of it, you can keep them, you know, put them in the sand underneath the house, and they keep the air.
How long do these keep?
These hens will keep over a week, 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they won't keep too long.
They
green.
You got to go ahead and make.
You got to go ahead and use them. Now, most of the people know what they're doing is. Sweating them, I call it. 4 minutes, you bring them to a boil, 4 minutes. Then you take them out of that water, hot water, and put them in your plastic bags. Leave your bag open until the steam gets out some. Then you just wrap a little, you know, you've seen that stuff like light bread got. And seal that thing and put it in the deep freeze. Then your beans and peas and stuff come ready. Open a bag of potatoes and just throw them in on top of them, you know, and they already had 4 minutes. Don't take long to cook them small side potatoes, see.
Yeah. Right here.
That's all right.
See, what is that out there here?
That's cookie.
Well, let's go see him.
A what?
Cookie.
What's he doing?
He got a bunch of girls in that wagon.
Well, let's see what.
Right. Who's wagon? Oh, he has.
Yeah,
go up
the front, see.
What kind of wagon is it?
Back 20 years ago, we used to like that. hay wagon, put a blanket down on top of the hay, in other words, and be just like a bed, you know, and take a ride. And take you a good while, you know, go 2 or 3 miles, but you enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's when maybe you go to someone's house to have a freshman and wind up, you know, singing all kind of gospel singing, in other words, and just have a big time. But now that thing passed, now everybody's attending the business. Don't have time for that.
Mm-mm. And you know, you feel the ground when you're sitting in that old wagon.
You're right.
And
you get closer to Mother Earth and all that, and just make you feel better, doesn't it?
It's just a different world from that wagon, ain't it?
Yes, sir. It is that.
It's a different world.
That's what I used to think about now, riding with Granddaddy when I was a little kid, named after my word, middle name, and the change of first from Edwin to Everett. And he'd let me ride with that wagon, though, and had one just like that, 2-horse, you know, with a tongue on it, a yoke, you know, and put the thing, you know, hat on that thing, and it was stationary, in other words, but that yoke, you know, it come from the collar, where the horses work together, and it would keep the thing straight, and you guide your horse on this side while you turn the wagon, in other words. That used to be a thing that I always thought of, in other words, about, you know, guiding the horses and guiding. And we'd haul hay on it, you know, loose hay with a pitchfork and stack it.
Yeah.
And you pat it down. You get through, you know, you put a little piece of cloth or something, you know, around the pole. Put a hole in it and drop it over. Then the animal come and eat it and they'd drag this sift down. In other words, then you undo the wire around that pin to open up another stack. Max and them did the same thing.
I never did that.
You never did?
How did you do that?
Put it, start on the ground and make your bed, you know, and pack it around and make it, you know, about, I'd say 10 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
And you gradually taper that thing up.
Yeah.
See? Then you get to the top, you had a pole in the middle.
Yeah.
You take the pole school digger and dug a pole and put a green pole. Of course, it would cure out.
Yeah.
Then you cut a hole in a piece of, sometimes they get a piece of metal, old metal tin or something. They didn't have that. They get an old oil cloth you used to have. You know, something like this, and cut a hole in it. Just put it over and it, you know, come down that shed the water and after it set that while, why then it was done.
Yeah.
It wouldn't, moss wouldn't go in.
And it set. It set there.
It set there. And they turned the animals in there, you know, to one of those stacks and they'd eat all the way around it. And if they eat it, well, it undermined it, see, and it just dragged it settle and it still, you know, be fine and be good hay right on.
Well, now, how did you keep them out of it?
You'd have to have a wire pin to cut them out of it, see.
Wire fence around it so they could.
Then you'd wait until the cold weather, in other words. No, you'd let them into the stack. They wouldn't go on into it. They'd just stand and pull it out of the stack. They just knew, you know, to get in and get a mouthful of it and eat it.
Wouldn't waste it?
No. Very little of it wasted. Very little.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Golly, it looks like that's better than baling it and carrying it to a darn shed.
Well, as Victor say, it seemed like everything had changed. It got to where it would mold the weather conditions, just like curing meat. You remember curing meat? We'd cure it and hang the smoke out, and you'd go out there and get a chunk of sausage, it'd be out of this world to eat. You know, in the morning, you know, with fresh syrup and hot biscuits, you know. And we had to quit that. The thrift and all kind of bug got in there, and we had to go to wrapping it and dipping it in paraffin, then putting it in barrels with shucks. You know, kind of preserve it. And the sausage, well, I had to kick them off the pole, go to cooking them in the lard and wrapping them around and around in the lard can and have the lard. And you go in and take your fork and dig it out of the lard and let the lard, you know, go back into the can. So hay is the same thing. You know, if they see what I mean, it changed. It deteriorates, mold get into it, and all other, just like new diseases come up, just like deep potatoes. I told one man, he said, I thought blackleg was in cattle. I said, I never heard of talking about blackleg in potatoes. He said, what is that? I said, well, it's just a scientific name, and that's what potato has, blackleg.
Blackleg.
A black spot, and it'll just get eat it, and it'll eat that potato up, just like cancer or sore or something. Some of these, you know, got that blackleg. Some of these colors to pick out. But you can't let that go in the potato, you know, well, you're going to ship it. It's supposed to be pretty close to number one. Now, a lot of that green could go in there, which is a commercial, and they wouldn't kick against it. But as I told that boy, I said, now then, starting off, we're going to have to pull that stuff out, have the hand, you know, to do it. And that's what I have to do, you know, check behind them, you know. Going to ask them, went through the potatoes, go to the end, you know, see where they're dumping out and going in the elevator, going in the truck, and see if they're pulling that stuff out about right. Then you go and look at the bags, you know, and see what see if he put some good potatoes in there. That boy went on this afternoon, he picked out one. He said, what's wrong with this? I said, well, that was a pass because that's a grub worm. You know, you know what a grub worm is. He'd eaten a little hole, but it done scarred over, you know, like a scab. You know, you get skint and it's scabbed over. That grub worm scarred, done scarred over. And I said, it'll keep, you know, it won't deteriorate for day after tomorrow to have a potato chip bag.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have bought that. But the sister-in-law taking them out. They were in a paper bag, and there's two packs in a bag, you know what I mean? And they wrapped up, you know, but the two of them in now.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was in a box. And I reckon there must have been about six of those bags in there, and two in each one, about 12 packs in there.
Yeah.
6 to 9 cent packs. The price is on that.
Oh.
And I tell that gentleman out there, I gave him one of them potatoes, and I said, it'll make two of them bags. One potato will make two of them chip bags.
I didn't know they fluffed up that much.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My gosh.
Yeah,
it's all just
I said,
in the process.
People, that's the reason you got these potato chip plates. There's one in Jacksonville, you know. What is that, Wise or Lay? No. Well, Lay is a Wise in Jacksonville.
Absolutely.
One of them's in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. But we ship in Atlanta, Memphis, Birmingham, Cincinnati, Cleveland,
yeah.
Detroit, Buffalo, New Jersey, Washington.
Potato chips.
No, they ship potatoes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They have chip places in all those towns I name. And maybe one or two companies. Maybe more than one company in each one of them towns. I can tell you, it's a multi-million dollar. It'd be surprised. You just knew how many were eating in a day. A chip.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all crunchy, aren't they? Did you know Jimmy Means over here?
Yeah.
Well, how did he ever get to raising sweet potatoes?
I don't know. I don't know how he got doing that.
Now, he's the only man in this whole country that I have heard of.
Well, he just kind of had a knack, you know, to mess with that underground... You know, root variety of what it is, just like that cassava.
Yeah.
Old man Chitty, you know, he saved it on seed and he kept it as long as he lived. Well, he didn't run out. You know, a lot of places you come down and buy the seed and they come for 200 miles.
Yeah.
Get that seed.
Yeah.
Willie might have told you that. They come in and get that seed.
No, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And the seed comes from a stalk.
Well, he was a cassava man.
He's a cassava man. He's one of the known to have kept it in existence, in other words, longer than anyone else, it seemed like. And Jim, he started off with this underground
thing. Well, now, he started off way back.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't been for all that legal trouble, I bet you he would have still been in it.
Yes, sir. He would have.
Now, I knew that old nigga that worked with him all
but,
that
time. But they...
Did you know her, Bootsy?
No, I didn't know her too well, no.
You know who she was?
Yeah, I knew who she was, yeah. But they were doing a good job, but they finally shoved him out to the side, didn't they?
He shoved himself.
Is that the way it happened? But he didn't have the forethought enough, or didn't want to, or get some help, or legal advice, or something of that kind.
Well, he had plenty of it, but he is hard-headed, you see.
But the boy was real smart in school. I went to school with him. Of course, he's about 10, I think he's 10 years older than I am.
Oh, you did go to school
with him? Yeah, I'd say he's 10 years older than I am. Jim Mean, you talking about James Mean?
Yeah.
Old tall, gawky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now you see, he talks well.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you.
He was real smart in school. He just finished high school.
Yeah.
But he could have had a good job. I wanted to get the boy a job at the post office, you know, up in Gainesville. And he could have passed the test as smart as he was. Sure, he could have.
Yeah.
That's all it required, a high school education, and he had it. And he could have, you know, but he... Like you say, he's hard-headed. He just didn't want to do that. He'd rather, you know, mess around, pick this fruit, and think around, pluck around.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, when I first came down to this country, he held court over there in Buster Mountain Garage. He'd sit back there and flick his cigar and just tell hawkers.
That's right.
He looked like he was just... good for the duration. And you know what? They had an orange, the citrus froze on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard on him there for a while.
Yeah.
And he got a job there at Micanopy,
picking up the garbage.
Mm-hmm. For little or nothing.
Yeah.
And he kept it. You know that story.
Yeah.
He kept it a while. And then somebody else underbid him for $5.
Mm-hmm.
And he hadn't been to Micanopy since. He just knocked the dust of Micanopy off
his
shoes.
Feet, yeah. Well, I know it. You used to see him up there once in a while, you say, but I haven't seen him, I don't know when, up there. I see him down at McIntyre once in a while.
Yeah.
He asked me about Ernest. Now, he worked with at the packing house under my brother Ernest. He run the packing house, but he didn't work, never work under me. We worked on brother Ernest when he was down at the packing house.
Yeah.
But he never worked under me, and I had charge of the packing house.
Well, now, I see him every now and then, and sometimes he speaks to him, sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah.
But he never talks.
No, I want to say he's...
he never talks to me.
He's kind of reserved, but he...
But he wasn't reserved then.
No.
Over at Buster's. Why, he just held for
it. Yeah. He'd have court, and he'd have everybody listen to him, and he could ring it out there, and the boy was pretty bitter. And another boy right along there with him, he didn't know him, and he was about the same way. Now, he finally got a job at the... He started off a car saver, this other boy.
Yeah.
And he left a car saver and went in the insurance business. And that's what he's in now, I think. And his name was Odell. He married a local girl in Micanopy. He married one little Delaney girl, Ruth Delaney.
Yeah.
And she's a pretty smart kid. She's just a little, I think she's one grade on Ernest and I when we went to school in Micanopy, graduated in Micanopy. And Ruth was one grade under. And this Odell boy, he's about two, he and Jim Means were about two or three grades ahead of
him.
Yeah. Of course, they were old for the age, you know, but Jim, and I'd say Jim Means is right close to 70 years old.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lot older than you and I.
But
I know
he can do more work than I can.
Yeah, but he's pretty tough right on.
Yes, I remember one time over there, he had a stub in his foot. I forget what it was, but he could have gone to the doctor, and the doctor could have taken that thing out or fixed it in 15 minutes and taken away all the pain. And you know what that bastard did? He wouldn't go to any doctor.
No.
He just sat through it.
He did?
Yes, sir.
Well,
he
used tough time with sugar on it. What did he do?
I don't know what he did, but he was in pain.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you could see him, and he couldn't hardly move. And he just...
wore it out himself.
Just wore it out. I remember what that is. Now, I'll tell you what he did. He still got that old truck.
Yeah. Yeah, he still worked with the fruit. He picked a little fruit and all for the stand down there, worked for.
Used his own truck.
Yeah, worked for a company now, down there. My cousin is working with it.
Now, how far back does that truck go?
Well, it's I imagine that truck's about a 50.
Yeah.
Go back to about 1950, I'd say.
Yeah.
Maybe a 49.
Yeah. Well, now you see, the time when I first come down here, Buster kept it going for him.
Yeah.
And then he didn't fall out with Buster. He fell out with Micanopy, and he never even come back over at Buster's. So
yeah.
I don't know who keeps it going now.
I don't either.
Well, looks to me like Buster could keep a lot of that stuff going.
He could, but Buster don't care about doing too much. His wife paying him a pretty good check. And
I see.
He drinks that beer, you know, and he just don't want to care about doing anything.
Yeah.
Getting bigger than a barrel.
Looks like he's no better than that. His wife's a nurse.
He looks like it, but he don't pay attention to her. She liked to left him once or twice, but all people have a problem nowadays.
You know Buster, known him all your life. Now, how long? And you can't depend on him to keep you going.
No. I don't bother with him. I don't have him do any work for me, because I don't deal with him, in other words. Too much of that talk. And he learned a little mechanical business from his daddy. His daddy was a pretty fair mechanic.
Yeah. He went to the army and learned a little.
And that's what I say. Buster went in the army and went and learned a little and come back and worked with his daddy, you know, and learned a little. But there's lots that he don't know. Not that he'll mess up, you know, on you. And,
Buster says he's a brakeman.
Well, it don't take a super duper man to be a brakeman.
Yeah. He said if he knows about anything, it's about Drake.
Well, he might maybe read something. He might have read some books or something, knowledge on that, maybe work with it and figure it out, see?
Let me tell you.
But
I find Buster will work on my car about once every 6 months, and then he don't want to even see it.
Yeah. I went by with mine down the other day after my motor started getting, after I had the fat tire and the man held me up on the wheel.
Yeah.
And the cousin of mine, his brother, said, well, he said, when you find another commercial wheel, you know what a commercial wheel is with an outer flange on it, rim.
Yeah.
And solid, it's not a split rim, no, but it's not like the big tire, 8 1/4 or 900 tire. It's got that rim, it just fast locks underneath, you know, just solid rim. Couldn't find any of them anywhere, and finally a man had one, you know, with you know, just a regular wheel, 6-hole, you know, for Chevrolet. And I asked him, he's talking to him on the phone. And I said, well, I'm broke down, I want to get home. And I said, that tire there is a good tire, and I'll have to put a new tube in it. And I said, I'll use my tire for the new tire, we'll buy it. You know, list price, now they cost $40, $45. And I says, tell him I'll take it after he said $6 for a second-hand wheel. So he went and got it in the cousin station wagon. Went back and then said, gee, my nigga, he charged you $6 and had a rusty place on it. He put a little grease on it, you know, oil, motor oil, to hide that rust, in other words. Well, I told him, I asked the man what shape the rim was. Was it a good rim? When mine went bad, it done rusted out. Because it come on the pickup, see what I mean? 1955, so you can figure how long it's been on now, see?
Uh-huh.
And it just come time for it to wear out, you know. And that's what made, you know, the air pressure and all of about 2,800 pound of weight on that half-ton pickup. With 40 pound of air in the rear tire, no, it made that stem come through that big hole, you know, a thing that big, and it pulled up. The stem, right, the heavy-duty truck tube with a twisted, long twisted valve, and it started leaking around where they pulled it loose. And the man told me, then we pulled up in, I said, I got a tire about half flat. And I said, I've been driving 20 miles an hour ever since I left that cutoff yonder to go to the Melrose out of Hawthorne. I think it's 4 or 6 miles. I drove about 6 miles there, about, you know, just 15, 20 miles an hour, just fast enough to stay in high gear. And, he said, well, he says, you got a bad tube, but I don't have one. Said, go up there. If they got one, get one, and I'll come back and I'll change it for you. Well, he knew that thing was bad to change. A lot of people don't know how to change them limited tires. In fact, I don't want to mess one of them. I'll change an 8 1/4 or 900, you know, with them, you know, where you take your tube, you know, split that rim, you know, where you lock it together. It's cutting to you, you know what I mean. But this here, just one rim, it locks over that thing. You got to knock it down and fast it. So, that's when Linda said, no, he said, well, he says, that's highway robbery. I said, well, that's the way it goes. I said, I'm not clocking because I'm broke down. He could said, take it or leave it. But Linda said, well, he said, whenever you find another, if you find one in this place down in Ocala, Leesburg, he says, carry it back by then and ask him what he gave you, you know, 50 cents or a dollar for it. I said, he wouldn't even buy it back. Man wouldn't even buy it back. I said, he's in the business to sell stuff. He ain't in the business to buy something back. He said, well, he says, that's rough, you know, like some people charge me list price for the tube, and I'm not making anything. Of course, even my cousin, he wasn't going to, you see, and nearly $5, and then one that come out of there, I bought it from the CPA, not the CPA, the, that's it, Cotton Producers Association, yeah, they call it Farmer Mutual, and I said, it was less than $3 for a heavy-duty tube, and it's heavier than the one that he put in there, that you put in there, it's a heavy-duty tube. And that boy said, well, you won't need the flap on this wheel. I said, no, but I'll keep it. I'll find one. I won't have to pay $2 for a doggone flap. You know what a flap is? It goes next in the groove, you know, on the rim. So I brought the flap home with me. But I started out, and the thing started getting hot. The radio wasn't leaking, and I stopped in the Grove Park. And wasn't no filling station, but... she had a casting drum on the outside and turned the thing into a little grocery store. And there's two ladies in there, and I asked her, did she have a water bucket or can or something for me to get some water in. I knew she had a water spigot somewhere around there. So, no, I got a wash tub in. Well, it was one of those half bushel, you know, I call it just a feed bucket. So I got, she told me to, it was out there where the station used to be on the concrete pier, in other words, and said the spigot is there, out in the hot boiling sun. So I got the water and put in it, and then I told her, I said, would you like to have a few potatoes in this bucket? You know, number 12, I sure would. And I opened up a bag and let the tail get down, you know, and filled the bucket up, you know, and the curled and all, mammoth tail and all. And that's when the daughter come out, in other words, kind of a younger girl. She looked to be, I'd say, 25. She's married, but she's younger than her mother was, I'd say, in her 50s. And that's when the girl said, I'm sure glad if something happened to your truck and you stopped in to get some water. So it must have been pretty poor people to get them blooming potatoes. They thought like they'd tickle to death, get them curled
well,
potatoes.
Well, they like them fresh potatoes.
Yeah, fresh potatoes. Go ahead and cook them and eat them. But I said, don't wish me any bad luck, because I've had enough this year. Yesterday was a bad day on the job, and now in the day it's been a bad one. See, I had some people, you know, knocking and hang out over there, you know, for about $10 or $12, you know, for the tire and tube and the wheel. And I said, now then, the doggone motor wants to run up, burn up, you know, with thermostat. I thought it was thermostat. Well, I come on and make it open. Put water in it. Stop again at Rochelle. And it's all been to make it open. That fella told me, said, I'm not no mechanic, but he says, I believe it's in your thermostat or in your water pump. And I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, he says, I believe he got a Chevrolet truck, a little newer than mine. And he says, in the summertime down here, and gets hot, well, I just take that thing out and throw it away. Well, it don't get cold enough down here for you to use a thermostat in these old model car, you know, like mine. I come on to making open then, and old Birch up there that I was telling you about, he closed up, you know, and gone fishing, I reckon. He and his wife is, I think, separated, and she done run him out, and he's sleeping in the garage, and he's still going around the old man that she got divorced from him, but he got hurt in his mind bad. It bought my brother-in-law's garage. And he said that they opened, they got a mechanic there, but I stopped there, but I could tell that fellow wasn't no mechanic. He might be any good as I am, and I don't claim to be a mechanic. And he told me that, he said, well, I believe it's your hose. It's kind of soft. Well, I didn't say anything. He's a mechanic. I wasn't a mechanic. You know what I mean? You don't know too much. You're not used to questioning his ability of what he is, or you don't know what he can do. See what I mean? So then he says, I don't know. He says, how far you live? I said, well, I only live about 5 miles. If I can get this thing home, maybe you and my sister-in-law's car. And I said, well, she won't be until 6 o'clock. And I said, it's 3 o'clock now. So then I said, well, I said, I'll be about going down. That fellow I was telling you about, old Fred, on the little shade tree job there back of that.
Oh, jump you go down there?
So I went down there. And he take my hose off, and water hose, you know where that man, he said, no, it's not the hose, he said, it may be the thermostat. And he put his, take the screwdriver and put down there, and he couldn't see, he said, it's been taken out. He said, it's not in the thermostat. And he put the hose back over.